Let's start. So I think what we will do is Davey and I will talk briefly just kind of about the values of...
There's a great ring in your
voice. We'll talk briefly about being a minister and... We have some ordinations to do, and we're not going to have area reports, but we are going to have two or three reports about special areas of ministry. So I'll start with just a few thoughts that have been occurring, and in fact reoccurring recently. You know, as being a minister in Ananda, minister or light bearer, but the ministry is we're essentially trying to do our best to be the channels for this particular ray. Master has a voice through his writings. Swamiji has a voice through his writings. They both have voices, in a sense, through the lives that they led and the models that they were. But especially now with Swamiji's passing, the model seems to be receding a little bit in time. Not that we feel that, because we feel Swamiji more present now than we did often when he was in the body. Because when he was in the body, most of the time, for most of us, he was somewhere else located. His body was located somewhere else. And so there's the tendency to think, well, he isn't here because he's over there in India or in Europe. For the Indians, he isn't there because he's over here. And so on. So as long as he was in the body, he seemed to be more localized in that body. Now, he seems no longer localized. And we've had, especially in the last few months, we've had people from all around the world tell us how present Swamiji is, how active he is in their life, in guiding them, in answering prayers, in just uplifting their consciousness. So it's not so much with the group of people who were already connected and already magnetized by him, that more is needed. But now we're going to be pushing into the future. And increasingly, we will reach out to people who never met Swamiji. Just as no one in this room ever met Master. And if we hadn't had Swamiji to bring Master alive to us, none of us would have nearly the connection with Master or with the path or with the divine that we have. And it was due to Swamiji bringing that presence alive by and large. I mean, as I say, Master has a voice through his writings and through stories, the few books that are written about him, and the stories that we know, but it's almost a secondary presence. And now, as I'm explaining, the same is going to be increasingly true to Master. But if you look at the number of devotees, real devotees, that were there during Master's time, it's a handful in comparison to what there are now. In fact, I think it was 1936, somewhere in that area, Master wrote a letter to Rajasi saying, I'm going to stop being on the road so much. He said, even though I reach thousands that way, we don't have many people that stay with it. And so I'm going to now locate at Mount Washington and let the true devotees come to me. And so we've all heard this story about, you know, a crowd of 5,000, and Master was saying, well, we'd be lucky to get 5 real devotees from this. So even though Master touched and planted seeds very, very widely, the true devotees were not that many. And now with Swamiji, the true devotees are many, many, many more, multiples more, and that work is growing. And it's destined to keep growing because this is God's work in the world for the beginning era of Dwapara Yuga. And so it's going to keep spreading and expanding, but we have to have living channels for that to happen. And we're all, and not exclusively, but we're all very, very important in that divine plan to serve as living channels. So I want to talk a little bit, not very long, but a little bit, about what we need to do as channels, as ministers. And there are really three things that are of prime importance. One is our own search for the divine. The second, and they're tied together, is attunement with Master in that search, with this ray and with Swamiji. And then finally, the seva aspect of it. But the first, the search for the divine. If we never, ever had any outward ministry at all, if we did the search for the divine deeply, that would be the most important ministry of all. Rajasi didn't have much of an outward ministry, but Master said, "You have no idea the blessings that are drawn to the work by someone meditating so deeply." And so Rajasi's outward role was not traditionally as what we think of as a minister. He had a small ministry, but not a very widespread one. But his emphasis was, first of all, on the depth of his meditation. And so if we can have a really sincere, dedicated practice of meditation and sadhana that is focused on moksha, focused on spiritual freedom, the more we attune to that. I was reading a biography of Lahiri, and there was a very, very interesting concept in there. First of all, he talks a lot about prana and the use of prana. And I'm going to talk much more in depth during Inner Renewal Week. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of concepts. But he basically equates the consciousness of God and prana. You know, they're slightly different aspects, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, there's consciousness of God and then there's this impersonal unconscious force that's just energy, which some people mistakenly think of. Prana is the intelligent force, the intelligent energy. But he said God beyond creation has still prana. It's not in vibration. And when the universe comes into manifestation, that still prana begins to vibrate. And that vibration is Om. That vibration is Divine Mother. That vibration is prana in the active form, in the vibrating form. And so he said, and this is the concept that is very interesting, that the essential duality is not light and dark, not male and female, not none of those. The essential duality is stillness and vibration. And out of that duality, everything comes. Now, when we begin to retrace back, what we do is we take the ever-increasingly restless vibration that goes out and produces more of a miasma in creation, more of maya, one might say. The faster that vibration, the more restless it is, the farther it is from the stillness from which it came. And so the world, by and large, we're in a rajasic planet, in a rajasic universe, in a rajasic age. And so this is quite a restless age. Our primary job, both individually and collectively, is to really work on our sadhana and our meditation to bring our consciousness back into stillness. Because in stillness, we will perceive our true reality. In restlessness, we will perceive increasingly dense consciousness of ego, of separation. And so the primary charge that we have is to do everything that we can in our sadhana and in our life to move back to the stillness. And as I said, I'm going to talk more in a renewal week, but the essence of that is to bring the consciousness to the katastha, to the spiritual eye. Master said that if we can hold our consciousness here even while we're active, that is the fastest path to God of all, because it brings us in tune with that stillness. So that is the drive toward moksha, that we're all here. That's really our only responsibility. But because we are also connected from far before this lifetime with this particular path, then tied in with that is attunement with Master, and attunement not just with Master, but attunement with this particular ray. And that too we need to work on in every possible way that we can. We need to read, we need to listen to Master's voice, we need to sing chants of Swamiji and Master, we need to think about them, meditate on them, everything. We're all ministers, so we're all teaching this to others, so you know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to go into it in depth. But the active push to find moksha and the attunement with Master and this particular ray are the two most important aspects. That is the ministry. Modeling that vibration and that consciousness is the ministry. Then, if we have that, then we can begin also to express it in some outward form. Maybe it's classes, maybe it's satsangs, maybe it's counseling, maybe it's music, maybe it's art, maybe it's cooking. Whatever we do, the form is very, very much secondary to the vibration, because the vibration of stillness, achieving it and holding it, that is the essence of ministry. Without that, we could be a brilliant lecturer. We could be the best chanter on the earth, and it wouldn't be a real ministry. It would just be a performance. And so the ministry, as I say, is that attunement with Master and attunement with stillness. And what makes a master is that they have achieved that unity with that stillness or the consciousness of God. And so that's our real task and our real ministry. But because Master also came out of that stillness as an avatar, without any compulsion, came as an agent of God to help bring a new consciousness during Dwapara Yuga. And he brought down his direct disciples, and he brought down all of us. I assume that all of us have also been direct disciples of Master at different times. We're talking about infinity here, you know. And so let's not think, oh gosh, I was born 10 years too late. I'm done for. You know? So we are aligned with that vibration, and we have long dedicated our lives to both being in tune and to serving whatever Master wants done, whatever this line wants done, whatever Babaji wants done. That's both our blessing and our job assignment. And the role, the way that we express that, as I say, is so secondary as to be almost unimportant. What is important is we do it, is that we do it with the right vibration, and that we do it with increasing self-offering, holding nothing back. Because the more we hold back, the more we constrict the channel that these great ones are trying to flow through. And the more we open up and hold nothing back, the more that channel opens up. And it's not us that's doing anything. We're just being willing to allow them to function through us. And if we can hold on to that, then our ministry will achieve a kind of a power, not our power, not egoic power, but the power of the divine will flow through. And as we know, the laws that Master has taught us is that as the energy flows, the magnetism also flows. And so collectively, if we can give everything that we're capable of giving, then the divine will use us magnetically to send out a wide beacon to draw to this great awakening all those souls that are ready to resonate in attunement with it. And that is a beautiful, beautiful life. We're given in this life an opportunity that is a very precious and very sacred opportunity. And together, now, Swamiji is no longer present. And so, if that divine is going to have living channels, we are going to have to step up to the plate and selflessly, egolessly offer ourselves as the channels for the divine.
I'll also share a few words building on some of the concepts Jyotish was sharing. You know, this we're beginning a new era now with Swami no longer in the physical body. And it's right now, it's very, very important. You know, just as when we're taught the basic Hongsa technique, if you catch that first inhalation with focus and concentration, then the rest of your practice of Hongsa will be deep. But as so often I do, and I imagine the rest of us do, you're about halfway into it before you realize you're doing Hongsa, and then the whole thing is kind of lower energy. So right now, if we can catch this breath where Swamiji is no longer physically present, he's working with each of us in a different way. Of that I'm quite sure. But if we can catch it, it will determine how Ananda moves forward now. And we need to do this in several ways. What do I mean by catching this breath? I mean watching how we move forward in attunement with Swamiji, but expanding on what he's done. And it's a very fine balance. It's to walk that, like the razor's edge, because if we get too locked into, well, this is what Swami said, and he said we should do it, then it won't grow. But if we become too open, on the other hand, and just say, oh, well, it's for everyone, and Swami just approved all these things, and everyone can come here, even if they're sort of on this path, then we fall off the other side. So it's really just to find that point, because the temptation will be great now. Let's do it our own way. If we do that, Ananda will diminish. It will just, over the years, it will become less and less a channel for Master and Swamiji. But if right now we can start using Swamiji as our point of reference, how did he teach it? What did he say about Kriya? Not what did I hear someone somewhere say it, but how, just always something I'm looking at Devarshi, he's in my line of sight. He fields so many questions about Kriya, this line and that line, and he always comes back to what Master and Swami said, and he said, and that's the answer he gives to people. And if we can do that as we, and yet keep expanding, and, you know, some of us in the room will be writing books. Noasha's new book has just come out, Love and Protected. In asking, there was a request that Swami made for her to write that. Gandave's new book, Spiritual Yoga, we got to look at it last night. It's just tremendous. Congratulations. You've done it. You nailed it. And there's a foreword by Swami written October 12th. October 2012, was it?
What?
The foreword that Swamiji wrote. Yeah. And so it was one of the last things he wrote, and just really thanking Gandave for building Ananda Yoga in this way. But if we keep referring everything, then Swami will be able to guide us how he would be building things out, because he was always changing. But we can't have that same liberty, but we can have the liberty to tune in with him and feel his guidance as we move forward. And it's very important. And I think what will come from Ananda, we were just in Palo Alto and saw their new property, and Amara was telling us that they're getting calls all the time, people wanting to move into the community, and it's the work is expanding. But if we don't have, as Jyotish was saying, that core of silence, stillness within us that radiates out Master's vibration, it will become diluted. It's the way things go. But if we draw people into our ray with that stillness, with that spiritual magnetism, it will only grow stronger. And so we need to be aware of this. And then the second aspect I want to touch on is how we move forward as a ministry. Because one of the things I so cherished about how Swami did everything was the incredible attunement and alignment with Master, but the great informality and great sense of, no sense of self-importance, let's put it that way. And for us as ministers, if we start thinking we're ministers, and we aren't that way, there's a wonderful sense of spontaneity and informality, and people really, before we started wearing blue, some of us, people didn't really know who was ministers and who weren't ministers. And that's just the way I think Swami would like it and Master would like it. You know, even in autobiography, Sri Yukteswar makes, he blesses Master as a Swami, dips a little piece of silk in the Garudai and wraps it around him, and that's it. No big deal. No big officialness. And so for each of us, remember the wonderful guideline that Swami gave when someone asked him, how do you choose ministers? And Swami, this was a leader of another spiritual organization. And Swami said, we have to observe them over time. And the woman, the leader, said, oh, you mean you have to make sure they know the teachings? And Swami said, no. We need to observe them over time to see if even in the middle of their own personal tests and trials, if their first instinct is to serve others. That's how we choose ministers. And honestly, I see that in every one of you. I see that quality. We all know a lot of each other's lives. I've seen you go through difficulties and challenges, but always the service coming through. And that's what our ministry is. And sometimes people say, well, how do you choose light bearers? How do you choose ministers? In a way, that's almost karmically determined. There are people who, it's their dharma to teach and to have to do ceremonies and to have a more outward public role in that way. It's really not important, as Jyotish was saying. It's just like some people have a natural instinct for gardening or cooking or teaching or being a doctor. It's the dharma you're fulfilling in this lifetime. So whether you're a light bearer or a minister, if you're asking the question, why am I not a light bearer? Why am I not a minister? Then just ask yourself, how is my service going? And that's the question we should be asking. Am I serving other people? And am I helping them in whatever way? Line of sight went to Rick Morehouse. And, you know, all of us who live in Ananda Village know what he does for us. And how I never quite adapted to the phone system. And Rick very kindly said to me, and he said, Davy, I think you and Hashi, this is the most advanced age you've ever lived in technologically. Sure he's right. Anyway, that quality of service. And that's what we should be looking at. Not forget about titles, forget about who teaches, but are we serving? Are we giving everyone we know something from the heart, something that helps them, something that inspires them? And then the rest is just we're fulfilling our karma, and it really isn't that important. So these two aspects as we go forward in the future, to keep our ministry service-based, not position-based, not roles and titles, but keep it just a great wave of love from God and Guru going out into the world in whatever way we can do. And then to keep referring back to how Master taught it, how Swami taught it, how they conducted themselves with people, how they went on, how they enjoyed themselves, how they relaxed. You know, it was always, and I think for those of us who had the blessing, and it's almost everybody here, of watching Swami, of being part of his world all these years, why did he do so many of the things he did? The pool parties and playing, what was that game where the men would wrestle in the pool and they would be on each other's shoulders and Swami would, these are the very early days, and Swami would be, you know, on somebody's shoulder, some guy's shoulder, and wrestling with somebody else, and the P.G. Woodhouse and the dinners and the plays and the concerts. It was to show us the balance, how to live with God's joy in everything we do. And so this is the breath we have to catch now, that spontaneity, that freedom from form and kind of organization, the keeping in alignment with these two teachings. And if we catch the breath now, then year by year we'll go deeper and deeper, and we will fulfill the karma that we came into this life to finish off, and we will help to build this great work that Master came in the world to change the consciousness of our planet. So it's a joy to serve with each one of you. And I think I could meditate on each one of you and just be so blessed by the thought of who you are and what you do. So thank you all. And we want to have a few reports. And first, we thought it was absolutely fitting to have our incredible leaders of our meditation retreat. And there's a big team, but we asked Durga and Adora to come up and just talk a little bit about what they're doing. And as you all saw, everyone in the kitchen, we have a big staff, but they'll be the spokesman.
So again, we feel very blessed to be here. I don't think we would have been ready for it until 39 years of being at Ananda. They wouldn't have been ready for us, and we wouldn't have been ready to do it. But we really have found so much joy being up here. And I guess when we met with Jyotish and Davy in July, they just said, you know, the time for the college is over. And it's been a great blessing for the community to have them come and keep this place alive. And now it's time for a new step. And so we were asked to come up with Sabri and take it to the next step, and they gave us a lot of leeway. I think the only major thing they said is keep it in our vibration. So we have tried to do that. And, you know, along with that, I must say, I don't know if I have ever... It's such a blessing to me, especially, to be here in the way that these two great souls were talking about in the stillness. Because more than in any other place I've served, I feel Master's presence so strongly. And it's probably because it's so still up here. And we meditate 3 times a day, and all the ideas that we come up with come through meditation. And how many times we've gone to new meditation and gone to lunch and everybody says, I have an idea, or this idea came. And it's always feels so joyful. And I think Vidura's going to talk about some of those things that we would like to do. But we want to thank our staff, incredible staff that we have, Arjuna, Brannon, Brinde, Sabri, everybody that's come has felt like just it's time, you know, it's Sue and Matt, just everybody has a job, everybody's doing it. We have new gardens, new greenhouse, the chickens are so fat you can't believe it. We get eggs, and we're dealing now with what's going to happen when the chickens are too old to lay eggs. But we've had Prakash and Gyan.
You need an Ananda chicken house.
Especially for Shanta, they are definitely her babies. And sometimes she'll come in and she says, I just kissed the chickens. So, she's delightful. And so, anyway, we're moving forward. We have some wonderful work-study people that are here. We work together with the Expanding Light. We couldn't have done it without their help. Amazing. And just some of the things that we did right when we came was the trailers. We moved the trailers on to their next assignment. Anything really that had to do with a college energy. So we're trying to bring all the cabins up a couple notches, and just, I don't know, I just feel Master here, and he just guides us every day, so we've had a wonderful time here. And Vidura is going to tell you a little bit about what our plans are for some of the buildings.
Well, we have been having a lot of fun, and first thought came to my mind, I remember when I first came to Ananda and had my first jobs, and we used to have the early Rajasi days. I was in charge of Tomas for about 20 years. Rajasi day, I picked out a new area, and with a big crew of volunteers, we attacked the Tomas. And I think with good effect. I mean, so many people participated. It wasn't my idea, but we're sort of started on the same bent up here. We have been sent away about 3 30-yard dumpsters full of Tomas. We've cleaned up an amazing amount of things that had just gathered and nestled down here over many, many years, and we're trying to clean it out to let the new energy flow in so we can truly make this place a place of silence, of deep meditation, where devotees from all over Ananda will be magnetized to come for their seclusion and times of deep inner reflection and prayer. So our goal is to become ever more strong in our vibration that will draw more and more people here to take advantage of the deep experience that's available here. Some of the things that we have on our plate right now, we are now in the old office building. It's been here forever, and it is slowly sinking into the ground. The only good thing about the drought, it has delayed that process this winter. We're still in the office, but we are now in the process of moving to what was called the art buildings. You come through the gate on the right. That will become our new office. And then what we're going to do with the old office dome is that's going to become a museum, historical museum of the develop of the meditation retreat. So we're starting to gather a lot of things that can make that a very beautiful place for people to go and sort of understand the roots that from which this place developed. The other project is beginning to be started. As you all have seen, the Cobb building out there that was very beautifully done by Pablo and his crew. What we've decided to do with that now is we call it the Temple of Joy. And that's going to become a shrine to Swamiji. So that building is going to be dedicated to Swamiji as a meditation place. And classroom, we're going to put artifacts and a bust of Swamiji in there and have another place where when people come here to where Swamiji started in Ananda, they'll also have a place to tune into his vibration. Also, you know that most of the time when we're here, when someone's not staying in Swamiji's, we keep that open for any of you who come on seclusion to be able to have an opportunity to meditate in Swami's meditation room. And if you haven't been in there recently, please take a chance to walk around and look at some of the new energies that have been created, because we're really excited about being able to have the opportunity to help lift the retreat back up to what it truly can be. And thank so many people for stepping up to help us. And another thing, I'll say this on Atman's behalf, we've just now finished a fire clearing around 360 degrees around this whole retreat area, primarily driven by Prakash and Ram Dass and Dion, who've been working on it for a couple months now, and it gives us a sense of protection. We're starting to burn up a lot of the old burn piles, but make this place a little bit more fire safe, which we're a little bit vulnerable in some areas, and now we've taken care of that problem too. So anyway, we thank you all for being here today, and we hope you come back. Mm-hmm. And we're going to share some.
Okay, wait a second. I just wanted to say a little bit more about Sabri coming on staff, because we were really relying on Lalan and the Expanding Light and others of you to let people know we're here. And now she's needing much more to go into keeping to work on the Expanding Light. Sabri has been incredible help. We should really applaud Sabri.
Yay, Sabri!
She's taking on the website, all the programs, all the promotions, everything to do with letting people know, calling groups, getting groups here, because we really need the energy. It's not the energy, but we need the people, and we need to get the word out, because I think once people come now and experience, you know, how beautiful it is, they'll want to come back. And so, and we are attracting really beautiful, I would say half Ananda people and half brand new people. So it's still working. God bless you. You want to do the affirmations? But Dura suggested we have an affirmation that we do. Am I taking too long? But Dura suggested that we do this affirmation that Brinde channeled from Master. We do this every day at noon, and I thought it would be nice to have all of us in the vibration of what we're doing up here. So you can repeat after me. Great Gurus, Master, and Swamiji.
Great Gurus, Master, and Swamiji.
We thank you for thy light that blesses this land.
We thank you for thy light that blesses this land.
Sending everyone and everything.
Sending everyone and everything.
That is needed to fulfill the highest purpose.
That is needed to fulfill the highest purpose.
For your holy meditation retreat.
For your holy meditation retreat.
Om. Thank you.
We have two other areas of reporting, and we chose these out of, you know, many, many different ministries. But one is online with Ananda. Melody will talk about our online classes, and Bhakti Marg will talk about the Spanish ministry. And the reason we chose these is because these have such an international impact, and with the online class is really a global impact. So we want to just show creative expressions of how this ministry is spreading. So Melody, would you go first?
I'm going to share a little bit about what Online with Ananda is now and where we're hoping to go in the future. So Online with Ananda is, it can be considered one of the most impactful outreach ministries only because of its ability to reach far beyond the boundaries of any one center. We're now entering our fourth year, and so it's relatively young, but still it's growing very rapidly. We have nearly 10,000 registered users on our website, which means that they've created a username and a password, and they've actually logged on to the site. They're in 164 different countries. 5,000 of those are in the U.S., 2,000 in India, and 3,000 in the remaining 162 other countries. And sorry, it's very hard for me to speak in front of people. I'm used to speaking in front of a camera. Anyway, I'll do my best. So we have three main avenues of outreach. The way that we share these teachings through courses, through broadcasts, and through the virtual community. The courses are much more in depth. They're reading and audio, video. There's written exercises and forums where people share with each other. The students from all over the world will be having conversations about this course and the teachings, and it's very interactive. And the main courses, the core of our courses, are the Path of Kriya Yoga, helping prepare a person to receive Kriya initiation. And we either they either go to somewhere where they can go to receive initiation, or they get it remotely if they can't travel. And just recently, the most recent person who got it remotely was a man in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. He was isolated from devotees, and he went through the Path of Kriya Yoga. Takes about a year to take all the courses, and received Kriya. Devarshi gave him Kriya at a distance, and he circumstances changed, and he was able to travel here a couple of months ago, so we got to meet him. And it was really amazing just to see how in tune he was, and just, it was like there was no gap, you know. And so it really is reaching people all over the world. The webinars are sometimes attended by 30 different countries. You know, even though we have these time zones, people get up at 2 in the morning and watch together, and they're sharing and interacting with each other during the broadcast, because they have a way to type in questions and share. And so it's transcending all boundaries. And then the virtual community there are 18 countries right now who are members of the virtual community. The virtual community is like a course, but it's something people register for. It's for people who don't live near or can't live near a community or in a community. But it's the experience of spiritual community online. So we have guided meditations together twice a week. We have healing prayers. We have a book study meeting every month. And people in the virtual community contribute. Like they have an area of service where they either lead a book study meeting or they steward a forum. And so it's really dynamic. And there's a real depth to the people who are part of it. And in fact, some people who are part of Ananda are part of it as well. People who live in the village and different communities are also part of it. And if any of you want to be part of it, you can talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to add you to the virtual community. It's a great way to serve and to share and to help, inspire other people and help them along the way. One of the areas that we're moving into this year is we're in the process of developing a new website. We're actually creating something. It's a new LMS, a learning management system, which is the platform through which our online classes are based. We're in Moodle, which is a type of platform, and it's been really great. It's helped us get where we are, but it's very fixed. and it's fixed in its in our ability to let everyone know what we have in the navigation, which is the way that people, you know, access courses or find out what you're offering. It's also fixed in the user experience, and we can't really do all that we want to do, so we're building our own based in WordPress, and it's quite a huge undertaking. We've been working on it for quite some time, but we hope it'll be launched in the next few months. And what this new platform will do is it'll allow us to have sub-sites for, like, Ananda India, Europe, Spanish-speaking countries, where they can gear courses to their culture, time zone, and pricing. Specifically India, with, you know, rupees and dollars are, there's a big, you know, gap. We'll also hopefully have a way that colonies can tap into our Path of Kriya yoga classes so that they can work with the people who live in their local area who need to take classes online because they can't come to an in-person class. They can work with them and get to know them so that when they receive Kriya, they already know who this person is. There's not, you know, us doing something for Seattle, for instance, or L.A. And so this is one of the most probably biggest things we've taken on is making this new LMS. So we ask Savitri, want to, you know, be sure to ask for all of your prayers in this project because it is quite big, and your patience when we do launch it, because there's no doubt there'll be bugs. And, but it's going to be really beautiful too. It's going to be a beautiful sight. So
thank you. I just want to say one thing. Thank you, Melody. She's just she. Over and above the Call of Duty works on this. But this new platform that they're developing, this will be a product that we can sell not only within the Ananda world, but for anybody who does online learning. It's kind of a breakthrough product. So this has a wonderful potential. Now, Bhakti Marg has, we're so grateful, she's taken on the worldwide Spanish market.
Spanish speaking people in your communities, or look at that. So, something that you can help us a lot is that in your websites to link to the Spanish website, anandaespanol.org, that will help us a lot to spread this out. And they told me 5 to 10 minutes, and I have to talk about 5 countries, 2 continents. So I have written all of these things, so don't forget anything. And Asini has done a fantastic job during all of these years in working with the students. The main issue or the main tool we had was the Ananda Español website for many years. And this website was done with volunteer work. For 5 years, it was static. Nobody was able to work on this one. Because, anyway, it's a long story. Now, about 4 months ago, Turia helped us to move it into WordPress. And now we're starting again with the website functioning really well. And just from that website, we have 50 people. Well, let me tell you. The website offers the online classes, the meditation, Raja Yoga, discipleship, Kriya. So everything is there for the students.
All translated.
All, of course. It's in Spanish. And it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. But these people who sign up for the classes, they are committed. And we have 50 visits, 50 people signing up a month, and 50 people a week downloading the lessons. And those are the people that Asini worked with in Latin America. We have Teresa in Spain working with the people in Spain and Europe. And I'm here. I'm working with US, Canada, and the rest of the world, because again, Spanish is everywhere. Yeah. So let me read it to you. So Nasine has moved to Mexico in October 2012. And since then, the work in Mexico has doubled the energy in itself. But that created a new space, a new expansion for the Spanish ministry. So in October, I started working with the Spanish ministry after we sent our son to UC Davis. So now we have the time to... So worldwide, we have about 12 dynamic meditation groups in Argentina, Colombia, Mexico, Spain and Venezuela. 8 of them are teaching centers. And in Spain, last summer, Nayaswami Udva, many of you have known him, passed away. He was one of the Ananda ministers there in Spain. His wife is now the Ananda minister in Spain, Teresa. They created the Ananda Ediciones, so that is a publishing company in Spain, and has published the autobiography for Yogi, several of the secrets and the yoga series. The new path is about to be published, and also the biography, the Swami's book, Biography of Yogananda. And there are, people from Assisi, teachers from Assisi come to Spain, like Irtani, Anand, Uma, and other teachers. They go to Spain to offer programs. And they have created for the last almost 10 years a Kriya Van retreat and a Kriya Yoga initiation. We studied it at the center where St. John of the Cross founded. So just you imagine. And where he meditated and where his body is. So that's the first place we did the Kriya initiation in Spain. It was a blessed experience. Wow. There is going to be a pilgrimage to Spain in 2015. So that is another thing to keep in mind. In Argentina, after an Asini and Devasi work with the devotees in Argentina, last year Jaya Botaro, living in Ananda for about a year. She is the daughter of the center leader, Nayaswami Mokshananda. And he came here for 3 months during the summer, and then in the fall he came back with 7 pilgrims, all of them from Argentina, and wanted to create a community there. They are, now we have 2 of them, the Brahmacharini Dharma and Brahmacharini Devi, is staying with us since October doing the Karma Yoga program. And they don't know when they're going to come back. They really like it here, but they know that they need to go. They are putting subtitles to the leadership classes. All of these years, last year that we had with the leadership classes, they are in lesson number 9, and they're having a wonderful experience revisiting and translating the lessons. They are also putting subtitles to the Akasha lessons, and anyway, Autobiografía de un Yogi is going to be publishing in Argentina very soon. We have a Facebook, Swami Kriyananda, in Spanish, and it's doing really well. And that's about Argentina. Colombia. A few years ago, Swamiji blessed Anasini as a Kriyacharya. So now, last fall, she went to Colombia to give a Kriya initiation. And this is a group of Colombia that I'm here. And left a very nice group of people that are meditating together and creating the energy in Colombia. In Venezuela, I just have this picture, there's only a few people, but wonderful smile, as you can see. In Venezuela, after Anasini and Jaya and Atika in 2005, they went to give Kriya initiation for the first time to about 15 people. Since then, we had devotees visiting from Venezuela. And in 2009, some of you may remember José Ravelo. He stayed at the Expanding Life for 3 months. And he continued with a meditation group, and they have 2 groups in Venezuela, one in El Limón and another one in Caracas. And in Mexico, Anasini's energy and deep commitment to the path has energized a core group that is working with her to spread these teachings in Mexico. In this short period, they went from 3 teaching centers to 6 teaching centers. They also have programs on TV, radio interviews, teaching stress release for an engineer group in Lázaro Cárdenas. You will see some of them. It's a corporation, and people love that program. And Anna Shini visits the 3 main teaching centers. So she is located near Mexico capital, and then she goes and travels and visits the other people. They printed autobiography of a yogi, and now they are translating Education for Life, and it's going to be done hopefully shortly in the next few months. And all of this energy that she is magnetizing has created the... Jyotis and Devi are going to be going to Mexico on Tuesday for 2.5 weeks. They're going to be visiting all the centers and bringing the energy with all of their hearts to the devotees in Mexico. And Atman and I were going to be going in March to follow up what they are going to be stirring up in the ether there.
Melody, why don't you just stand up where you are in Durga Madura, and let's just send blessings to these wonderful areas of service that are reaching so many people. Second blessing for Bhakti Mark. Now that Mark has gone away to college, she's not only taking this on, but she's going to be heading up the family ministry for Ananda Village. So let's bless her.
For the family Parvet, tomorrow, Sunday, at 2 o'clock, we have a charade with Alex to really tune into Masters and Swami's vision for families in the community. And this is a community event. Families are part of our community, so you are all welcome. Living Wisdom Center, 2 o'clock tomorrow.